Last Word on Today FM.
Now, new research in Britain has highlighted what's described as a notable shift in contraception use from the traditional hormonal contraceptives such as the pill to what are known as fertility awareness-based models, also known as natural contraceptive methods. This apparently over the last 5 years. I wonder what's happening in Ireland. Dr. Laura Cullen is a GP in Cork, Director of Women's Health with the Irish College of General Practitioners. I'm old enough, Laura, to remember when Irish women were having to fight for the right for contraceptives and didn't want to rely on the natural methods that were being encouraged by the likes of the Catholic Church.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Once we have something free and easy access, and it is free at the moment for a great number of women in the country, that we kind of maybe just lose faith somewhat or become complacent about it. You know, that you're not the only person to have said that to me. Somebody said to me recently that she remembers when she had to fight. And it really, I suppose, brought it home. But yes, I am seeing an increased uptick in women refusing contraception and using these apps. And I think it's largely fueled by kind of a lot of misinformation online about risks in relation to contraception and kind of influencers and these apps basically kind of, you know, encouraging particularly young women to come off their contraception, which I find personally quite worrying.
Yeah, why do you think that's happening? Who's behind this, would you reckon? We're not going all conspiracy theorist on it.
You could go down all sorts of Elon Musk rabbit holes, couldn't you? Look, I mean, there's money to be made in, you know, downloading the app. So, I mean, you know, straight away, I suppose that's where you go to. I don't really know. All that I know is that a lot of younger women are much happier to take their information from their influencer. And really what I do when somebody's kind of doubting stuff, I try to direct them towards reputable online sources if they want to get their information from reputable online sources. I tell them what I know. I tell them how I know it and how long I've been doing this. And I tell them to have a really good think about it and come back to me, you know. The fact is the failure rate of natural contraception methods is very high compared to kind of standard contraception methods that we're all very familiar with. And particularly young women, you know, they're taking a very significant risk because they're very fertile. And we can't always rely on apps. The other thing we can't always rely on is our sense of judgment, maybe under the influence of alcohol. And I often say to young women as well that it's great to use this app, particularly if you're very, very disciplined. But often women's libido is highest around the time of ovulation, and that can make it quite difficult to stick to what's being recommended by the app to abstain in those periods of time when actually your body is probably most inclined towards wanting to have intercourse. So, yeah, it's a tricky one. It's a very, very tricky one, but we do our best in general practice, you know.
Well, actually, the listener here says, the pill fucked up my body and mental health. I'm like a new woman now in my 40s without it, says this listener.
And the truth is not everything is for everyone, and that's why it's really important to have a good relationship with your GP or with somebody that you trust prescribing this stuff, you know. Like one pill may not suit one woman, but it might be perfect for another woman. It can take sometimes months to get somebody established on an effective contraception. The truth is there's something for everyone. If you don't want to have a hormonal form of contraception, there are copper coils. You can use barrier methods, which I would think are all infinitely more dependable than using natural methods of contraception. And I've certainly come across plenty of patients who've had unplanned pregnancies using the apps, you know.
Because we are starting to get lots of text messages in now, Laura, suggesting that hormonal contraceptives are not good for people, causes depression, causes all sorts of other issues.
Yeah, so everybody's different and certain things can cause certain problems for certain people. And the truth is there isn't one size fits all at all. Okay, so if one thing doesn't suit you, then moving to another thing can. So yes, certain contraceptions and certain people can cause mood problems. Certain contraceptions, certain people can increase their risk of clots, for example. But going to see your GP or somebody that you really trust in terms of prescribing this kind of medication, who can advise you about the full range of things that are available for you and look at what your priorities are in terms of your fertility management, is really where you know you're going to get the most reliable information. And the other thing to say there is that it's free from your 17th birthday to the day before your 36th in Ireland. Aren't we very lucky? So the visit's free and the medication is free. And then it's free for an awful lot of other women who have doctor visit cards and GMS cards, you know, as well. So,
can I throw it the other way around to you, Laura? Yes. Before I want to bring in Elaine Burke in a second, yes. But could it be that these apps in some way could be helpful if you're looking to conceive rather than as a contraception, that they might be helpful, say, for things like tracking ovulation, tracking temperatures, whatever?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's where the technology comes from. Effectively, they were used initially for people who wanted to conceive, generally. So you knew kind of around the time when would be optimal to be having intercourse in order to conceive. But the truth is, even with all of that, sometimes ovulation doesn't happen exactly when you think it's going to happen, when the phone says it's going to happen. It can happen maybe a week prior or a week later. So we can't always hang our hat on these things, and really should be very clear about, you know, if we're using these apps, then are we clear that if we get pregnant, is that going to be a major problem for me? And what I'm going to do about that.
Okay, yeah. Elaine Burke is with us as well, host of the For Tech's Sake podcast, because some people have to have concerns about what would the owners of these apps, the companies supplying the apps, do with your information if you are uploading it onto an app?
Yeah, with any kind of data harvesting app like these would be, you do want to be checking out what their reputation on privacy is. You might not want to read their privacy policy because they can be impenetrable, but it is advised that you do so, especially when it's anything health related, which this is essentially. Some of them would go beyond what is the data that they need. Even some of the top ranked in terms of privacy and data protection might ask for more than the information that they need to give you the service that you want, which is to be able to track your period or other menopausal symptoms, or even track your contraception. If you're on the pill, they can be very useful for setting reminders. And actually, an app that I'm familiar with, Clue, will actually give you information and cite the evidence on that, on when if you miss a pill, I give you a guidance on that, and also couches everything in, you know, consult with a doctor and gives proper evidence-based advice there. So they can be very useful for many reasons, not just if people are going down old school rhythm method ways. But if they're asking for over the top levels of information, I would be cautious there. As in, yes, if you are using it as a period tracker, you will want to be putting in the dates that your period starts and ends, and maybe some symptoms that you feel in the lead up and all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't need to track all of that for you as an individual user. Extra information on you. It doesn't need your device ID and your device information, your IP address, and it might be collecting that data anyway. So it'd be to look at what data it needs and to consider, does it even need that data to do the job that you want it to do? In terms of privacy and data protection, what users should always look for is that apps are taking what's called the position of least privilege, that they only are asking for the data that they need to function. It's uncommon that they actually adhere to that as a policy. Most apps are overreaching in terms of the data they ask for. And because these are sensitive, and you also want to make sure that they have a good reputation in terms of securing that data. If you look up on any app store today, period tracking app, you'll get loads of results. There's plenty of them out there, but they'll be from a variety of different software providers, and they'll have varying degrees of reputation on security. I know in the Play Store, they'll give you a flag of kind of like the data collection of an app and kind of give you guidance there even before you've downloaded an app of what you can expect from it. But I would say that there's, because it's a popular app and it's kind of a service that people want, it's quite common actually in health tech in general, there's a lot of less reputable apps out there because they know it's a search term that's going to be going into app stores frequently. So a lot of one developer teams will be setting up these apps just hoping for downloads and collecting data and things like that, data that they can possibly sell on to third parties. And all that would have to be disclosed in a privacy policy.
Interesting. Okay, thank you very much. We will leave it there. Thank you to both of you for joining us. That is Elaine Burke, host of the For Tech's Sake podcast, and Dr. Laura Cullen, Director of Women's Health for the Irish College of General Practitioners.
The Last Word on Today FM.